Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
WRadio.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 19th day of February 2024. And tonight, we have in the booth, in the phone booth in the back, Pastor's Mighty Men. And the light right along with him is little Lisa. And tonight our producer is none other than Ken. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Pastor.
And then tonight, folks, we have, well, way out yonder in Missouri, we have the legendary Pastor Joe Larson.
I'm here, ready to go to work.
And, folks, you remember the days of Operation Rescue. Well, we have that founder of Operation Rescue, one of the mighty men for life, none other than Randall Terry. Hey, Randall.
Pastor Ernie, it's good to be with you as always, sir.
And tonight we have a special guest with us, too, a Pastor Stephen Broden, another pro-life activist. Hey, Stephen.
It is good to be with you this evening.
We have a whole lot to cover, so we're going to get to it. This is Pledge Week. So, folks, we've already got two pledges in. Little Lisa has pledged $125. Wendy Wilson has pledged $859. Thank you, thank you. The phone lines are open right now for pledges. And those with the credit cards, call 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Or you can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We need to hear from you if we're going to continue to bring you the programming without compromise that we have brought you. And tonight, fellows, the title of my message was Lesser Magistrates Then and Now. Randy, you know a lot about that. And so
we've been overrun by magistrates pretty much at every level. But what we're looking for and what we have been looking for is for people on the local and state level to stand up to federal tyrants. So what we've seen in Texas recently, for example, with the governor saying to Joe Biden, look, we're going to keep our border safe. We don't care what you say. That would be an example of the lesser magistrate standing up to the higher one who is behaving like a tyrant.
Absolutely. We're going to get into that with tactical civics a little later on in the program. But right now, the definition would be when setting authorities act in opposition to God's sovereign laws and statutes, Those who stand in the gap on the Lord's sides are called lesser magistrates. But, you know, before we even get started, normally Monday nights here on Pledge Week, we have with us Nurse Elaine Connolly. And Elaine had just gotten out of the hospital on Friday and after being there for several weeks, and she had to go back in today. She has fluid in her lungs, so I'm going to offer up a prayer. You folks, would you join me, everybody out there, for Nurse Elaine? She was affected by someone who had gotten the kill shot, and they had infected her. So let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold up Nurse Elaine and ask, Lord, that you would just touch her, Lord. And she works with people, helping. She's always putting other people first. And she was around people, she said, that were shedding. And she ended up picking this up, which led, Lord, to heart problems and all kinds of problems that she's had now because of this. And Lord, so we just would hold Nurse Elaine up and ask, Father God, Lord, that you would touch her, that you would bless her in every area where she could receive that blessing and restore her back here, Father God, and turn her desires. And for those that are listening, everyone that's listening to us tonight, turn their desires towards you more and more every day in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to do a little commentary, fellows. So now, the commentary I'm going to do doesn't apply that much to lesser magistrates, but as we go through this message this week, we really get into that. But Randy, some years ago when the abortion battles were raging on the streets in front of those bloody, I called them whorehouses of death, abortion mills, they weren't clinics. I was, of course, a leader in the fight of life, both on the streets and in the legislative panels. And I was with Dr. Wilkie from Ohio Right to Life right from the beginning. And one day, though, Randy, some years ago, during a board meeting, a member, I think it was a new member, a woman, she proposed that anyone who had been arrested for pro-life activity out there on the street should be barred for being a sitting board member of Ohio Right to Life.
Wow.
And so
wow,
yeah.
Automatically a couple of the other women, you know, nodded in agreement. Now, the interesting thing, the men didn't say anything. The men there at the meeting, they all just looked to me because they knew it was coming. So, and she said her reasoning for this was that those that got arrested gives the mainstream media ammo to accuse all pro-lifers as being lawbreakers or terrorists. She went on to say that we will never, ever get the mainstream media on our side. Can you believe this? Get those people that hate us on our side if we continue to appear offensive to them. Well,
wow.
That's when, again, we were being arrested. Randy and I, we did our preaching from both sides of the jail, didn't we, Randy?
That's correct. When I was a young man in Bible college, I knew that I wanted a prison ministry. I even had a chaplain's card, but I never thought that I would have a prison ministry from inside the jail.
Yeah,
but I did.
You and me both. And, in fact, I'm the only one that I know of that was thrown in to jail for preaching out there on the street. And then they threw me out of jail for preaching in the jail. And so I got thrown out both ways. I guess they just didn't appreciate me. But anyhow, those were the days. Our people were getting their arms broken. Remember the nightmare in Pittsburgh? I was there. I mean, we had some real, well, interesting times. Our people were really persecuted for saving babies. But needless to say, that proposal did not sit very well with me, so I decided to make a proposal of my own that from this very day forward, and all the men, they were waiting, they had that little smirk on their face, they knew it was coming. From this day forward, all new board members must have been arrested at least once for pro-life activity to qualify for a position on the board of Ohio Right to Life. My reasoning for this proposal was that so we would know that the new members were more concerned about offending God with compromise than offending the mainstream media with our uncompromising pro-life stands. So what happened there? Somebody quickly made a motion that we do neither one of these, because you could feel the tension, and they quickly backed down off of that, and we never heard another word of that. That's for sure. All right, Bob in New York pledges 500. Thank you, Bob. Tony in Toronto pledges 125. Thank you, Tony. And so, I want to start tonight, fellas, in Acts chapter 5, starting with verse 17. And so let's do this. You fellas.
But Pastor Ernie, before you get started, it's Randall. I want to just say something to your listeners. I have been doing television and radio for 40 years, literally for 40 years. And I'm honored to have been on the program with Pastor Ernie many, many times over the decade. But what I want your listeners to understand is when they make a commitment to help you and to help this program, they're investing in the ability on radio to still hear the truth. Because if you look at what's happening with social media, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, they are suppressing free speech. And we know that newspapers and television stations often do not have free speech. They don't allow it. But you, because you're on radio and the network that networks and stations that carry you allow you to speak the truth, it's a huge blessing. And I'm thankful because I know that there's not a lot of people that would have me and Pastor Broden on a show. I mean, we're running for president and vice president. As you know, you're going to be talking about that in a little bit. But I want to encourage people during Pledge Week, give financially to What's Right, What's Left, and know that your money goes to say the truth, expose the lies, the wicked, all the things that matter. So that's it, Ernie. I appreciate you very much, and I'm thankful to be on the air.
Well, I appreciate you, Randy, too, because I know what's happened to you. I knew how Bill Clinton had you put in prison for doing nothing. I remember, how many times you got arrested out there, just the way that they treated you was they treated you worse than a dog. So, but you fought for the precious babies, and you stood your ground. You never backed down. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5, starting with verse 17. Now, Pastor Broden, you and Randy, just jump in if you have a question or comment. And we start in verse 17.
I think all three of us have had our share of being arrested and disparaged in this fight for life. And Randy and I are pursuing a means by which to take our message broad and wide across this nation. I believe we're, like your show, our opportunity is to represent the voice of God, the mind of God, in the public square. In all of the vitriol, in all of the division that is in our nation right now, the voice of God must stand above it and declare what is right, what is just, and what is fair concerning these little ones. And I think God has opened the door for us to do that, and we appreciate so much having the opportunity to launch our efforts through this program tonight.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I can tell you, those clips that you made, Pastor Broden and Randy, I didn't have time to do it today, but we're going to load those in. And we will be playing those clips from coast to coast. And so they'll be being heard from starting tomorrow. We're going to be playing those daily starting tomorrow. And so, and they're very good. And so I know that we kick this off when the election comes. We're going to have an interesting year. I know we're going to have a very, very interesting year, folks out there. So get geared up. But we're going to get into the scripture. And we start with verse 17. Joe, would you read verse at a time, starting with Acts 5, verse 17?
All right. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation.
All right. Now, the reason that they were so filled with indignation, one of the reasons, is they did not believe in the resurrection. And so here you had the apostles out there preaching nothing but the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so go ahead and read verses 18 through 20.
And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.
Okay, so now, here, again, the apostles, like I said, Randy, I had one time there was a pastor who had said, now, when I was in the prison, the pastor that was supposed to be sitting in for me here, he took ill. And so he, at the last minute, he knew I was in the prison, got another pastor to sit in. And this other pastor didn't share our views. He came in there, and he was one of those folks that totally misunderstood Romans 13. And so he said, you'll never see me out in front of an abortion mill as long as it's legal, because
he said this while he was guest hosting on your program.
Yeah, and he didn't know I was listening. I was driving on my way home. I had about a four-hour drive, but I was driving on my way home, and I heard the whole thing. And so I called in, and he said, because Romans 13 tells us that we have to obey the government, no matter, even if it's corrupt. Well, I called in, and I said, first of all, that's not what Romans 13 says. It means exactly what it says. And here, so he says, well, I don't see anywhere the Bible tells me I have to stand against the government for any reason. I said, really? I said, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of the prison epistles? He said, of course. I said, well, why do you think they're called the prison epistles? He said, well, because they were written from prison. Now, were the men in prison for obeying God or government? He said, boy, that's a good point. I never looked at it that way. He said, I'm going to have to rethink my doctrine.
Good and, grief.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, but I still don't think I should go out there. I said, listen, I'll never catch you do anything that takes any courage. Never.
You did not say that.
I certainly did.
Yes, he did.
And there you go. And so
let me make a bet. I bet that was the last time he guest hosted for you.
you're not kidding. That was, but the funny thing was, he ran into me years later. We both aged quite a bit, and he didn't recognize me, and I didn't recognize him until he introduced himself, and then I recognized him, and I said, "Now I know exactly who you are." And then he was very apologetic. And he had changed his thinking because he actually came to a patriotic rally, and which he didn't do before. But anyhow, here, when we look at this here, the angel of the Lord, we know that's a Christophany. Whenever it's referred to as the angel of the Lord, not an angel, but the angel. So it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself that came, and he set the apostles free. He opened the prison doors. And then he said this in verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And what he's really saying there is go take a stand. Go take a stand. Is that message still for today, fellas?
Well, absolutely.
Even
more so.
Your turn, brother.
Absolutely. There's a screaming need, a desperate need for the body of Christ to listen carefully to what God is saying and then do what God is saying. Right now, I think many of us are talking to him about what we want and what we expect of him. I think we've got it twisted. We need to listen carefully. I think when you look at what took place at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Spirit of God, or the Father, spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Greek word there is akouo. That means hearken unto. It's more than just a passive listening. It's a listening with intent. And the intent is to do what is instructed of us. And unfortunately, at this time, in the body of Christ, in the Republican Party, in the conservative movement, all of us are demanding things of God, and we're not listening to what he expects of us in these very desperate and turbulent times in which we live. I believe that we have a responsibility to be salt and light agents in the public square, but at the same time, seeking first the kingdom of God and making his priority our priority. Matthew chapter 28, go and make disciples. And I would dare say the body of Christ in America is not making disciples right now. And then Acts chapter 1, verse 8, part B, and you shall be my witnesses. This is what I hear God saying to us, and we need to do what he says do at this hour.
Well, you're absolutely right. In other words, shorten it up. It says very easy that God has expectations of us, and we have obligations to him. And he gives us three missions, three main missions. One, and what you just mentioned, the Great Commission, first and foremost, is the Great Commission. Two, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And number three, he tells us in Thessalonians to stand fast, hold to the traditions of the apostles, and not give up ground. And so those are the three main missions we have. But you're right, you know, the Bible says very clearly that all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. We have, I played a clip the other day from Ron Reagan Jr., And in that
poor guy, oh man, he's lost his soul. Lord have mercy on him.
Yeah, and he was out, Randy, and he was promoting atheism, and he was bragging how the fastest growing religion in the country is atheism. And then he said this, he said, and I am not afraid of burning in hell. And he said it in a mocking voice. Well, he's in for an extremely rude awakening, I can tell you. Unless he repent, he is really in for an extremely rude awakening out there. Hang tight, fellas. We're up against a break. We'll be back right after this.
Qualify for an aid. Remember me, I helped you I serve my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight raids? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember.
In November.
In November.
As I step into the little booth, I'll remember in November to vote
for anyone but you.
All righty, we're back. Okay. And Randy, you and Pastor Broden are running for president and vice president. This is an interesting thing. Are you running as independents? Are you running as Republicans? Or are you running as Democrats?
We are running as independents in the general election on November 5th. And I want Pastor Broden to jump in anytime he wants. Pastor, just interrupt me. But I want everyone to understand why we're doing this. And now you can go to our website, Terry2024.com. Just my last name, Terry, and then the date or the year, 2024, Terry2024.com. And you can see the ads. We are running in the general election because federal law requires television stations, whether it's NBC, CBS, Fox, whatever, the federal law requires these stations to play the television ad of federal candidates unedited, uncensored. There's literally nothing that they can do to stop us. So we can show, well, I mean, Pastor Ernie, you've seen the commercials.
Yeah, I have. And I can't wait. Like I said, I'll be playing the audio clips, you know, I'll be playing those from now on.
Well, the audio clips are good, but when you see, this is the only way that you can actually visibly force a television station to show a victim of abortion. And this is as good a time as any. Pastor Broden, I'm going to ask you if you would speak up, but I'm going to set the table. Pastor Broden is 72 years old. He's a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, incredibly articulate. You can hear the beauty and the depth of his voice. I so far, Pastor Broden, everyone who hears your ads goes, wow, what a voice. Yeah, I'm jealous. But Pastor Broden is African-American and a God-fearing conservative in the political spectrum, which means that he is hated by the left-wing clergy in the African-American community. And he's saying things in his ad that are frankly unprecedented. So with that set up, Pastor Broden, I'm going to throw the ball to you.
Well, we're in an extraordinary moment, and I think God has set this up for us. We are the prophetic voice right now. This program that we're on, what Randy and I are attempting to do, I think is an open door that God has made available to us to speak to this nation. The public square is crowded with many voices, and they're competing for our attention. the American public for their attention. And there are philosophies that are now that are pervasive among us: socialism, communism, Marxism, feminism, Darwinism, secular humanism. And all those philosophies are created by men and women who hated God. Our voice represents the mind of God in the public square. And at this hour, when the marketplace is full of noises and distractions and chaos and confusion, I believe God is going to use this issue, the issue of the sanctity of life, as a means to touch the minds and hearts of his people. And to this nation that has been had their minds seared by demonic ideologies, this is an opportunity for us to set forth a message that has been ignored, ridiculed, and disparaged. I think with this opportunity, there's no stopping what Brother Terry and I are attempting to do. When we get the money that's required for us to buy the ads, and I'm praying that your audience, as they give to you, would also give above and beyond. Give to the ministry of the prophetic voice of God in 2024. This is a significant year in many ways. And so what we are representing is a prophetic articulation of the mind of God in the public square. And that's what we're called to do, is to reflect the mind of God. I was reading in 2 Corinthians.
Let me jump in here just a minute. I have to give the numbers out, because this is Pledge Week. Folks, the lines are open. First, Mark in New York pledges 100. Thank you, Mark. 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Folks, we're planning on jumping in with both feet and helping both Randy and Pastor Broden on this. And let me tell you why this is, okay? The opposition, the death culture, folks, out there, has said they're going to win. They're going to run on the number one issue is abortion. We're going to show you. We want them to have to look at what they're saying. We get those ads on the television. Then they have to look and see what a Democrat really is in the mangled, torn up bodies of little aborted babies. That's what we're going to do, folks. But the devil is, the opposition is going to come after us and come after us hard. This is why we need your support. And Randy, tell the folks out there how they can support you guys, because I'm going to send you some. Tell them again how they can do that.
You're such a blessing, Ernie. And I got to tell you, folks, Pastor Ernie and I go way back, but my boy, my son, who's 21, preached his first sermon in Bishop Ernie's fellowship. So, such a blessing. Just such a blessing. Oh, anyway, go to terry2024.com. Give your first gift to Pastor Ernie's radio show. But those of you who've given and you can throw a few dollars to us, we need the help. And we'll be back on when it's not Pledge Week. But, the more money we raise, the more we run the ads. Now, listen, folks, if you live in one of the states where we are trying to get on the ballot, I need you to go to the website and fill out the volunteer form. If you live in Idaho, Mississippi, Vermont, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Tennessee, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, or Virginia, if you live in Ohio, if you live in any one of those 12 states, please, we need help getting on the ballot. And I'm actually leaving Wednesday morning to go to Idaho. So we need help financially just to, you know, help us get out there. But we got to get 1,000 signatures to be on the ballot in Idaho, 5,000 in Ohio, 800 in New Jersey, 2,000 each in Minnesota and Wisconsin. So these are totally doable numbers. But we need people who value the lives of babies and who are willing to expend energy and sacrifice for the babies to get us on the ballot. Because we're not asking people to vote for us. We're not going to hurt Trump. We're not going to hurt the Republican. We're saying to them, it's a sin to vote for Joe Biden. And if you do, you have blood on your hands. So go to Terry2024.com, see the ads, give us some money if you've already given to Pastor Ernie, but fill out that volunteer form. Wherever you are in the country, you can help us. This is your campaign. If you want to be a voice for the babies, look at us, Pastor Broden and I, as your emissaries, your missionaries to bring God's holy word to our culture.
Well, you know, Randy and Pastor Broden, they, you know, sometimes, you know, it seems like our side, the pro-life side, you know, I want to praise God for the pro-life side, but it seems like some of them have become so weak, and they don't understand, they don't really have the fire that is required to fight this fight. You know, what did Luther say? Luther said he was born to fight demons of hell, right? But you see, when you, for example, when you tell people, do you know that the Word of God says, if you kill your baby, you go there to kill your baby, you deserve to die. And that's what it says in the Noahic Covenant, Genesis 9, verses 5 through 7. If you kill your baby, if you abort your baby, you deserve to die. Now, when you say that, Randy, even to some of these pro-life ladies, they have like a look on their face like, I've never heard such a thing. What has happened there? I mean, it seems like, I don't know, we don't have, well, of course, a lot of us are a lot older than we did our first Operation Rescues. I think I was about 10 years ahead of you, Randy, out there on the streets, but we didn't call them Operation Rescues then. We called them sit-ins or shut-ins. But what has happened?
What I tell people is, look, as Christians, we serve and fear God. And Pastor Ernie's reference to women dying is that the scriptures teach that murder is a capital offense. I would not say those words, and I'm not sure if if it's accurate in the sense of duress. But what I do say to people to shame them is it worth $1? How about if a woman is found guilty of paying someone to kill her baby when abortion is illegal in all 50 states? How about she's fined $1? Because there are people right now saying that women should not face any liability, no criminal record, nothing for killing their child, which I say, hey, wait, you're saying that abortion is murder? Uh-huh, yeah, it's murder. And you're saying that a woman can murder her baby and face nothing? That's insanity. So what I say is, look, how about $1? Just $1. And then she has to be fingerprinted, and she has to have her mugshot taken, and she gets in the newspaper. The whole point of a law, among other things, is to deter people from committing the crime. And if women had to face a $10 fine, a lot of women, 80, 90% of them, are simply not going to kill their baby because they don't want to be, quote, lawbreakers. They don't want to get arrested. And then people say, well, they just need counseling. All right. How do you get them in front of a family court judge who orders them to counseling? How do you do that? You have to have them in the system. They have to be arrested. They have to be in front of the judge for the judge to order them into counseling. So these people who are saying there'll be no repercussions for women, they're cutting off their own legs.
Well, let me just tell you this. Here's the repercussions. most of these women, or a lot of them, are younger women, and those that have killed their babies have a 6 to 7 times higher rate of suicide than their contemporaries. So what does that tell you? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
There you go. That tells you there how many, I can't tell you how many of those women I've counseled that have killed their babies and then come to me for counseling. And you have to understand that there's only one remedy for sin, and that's repentance. And that's for real. You have to be sorry for what you did. Now, I can tell you this, in my 50 years out there in the pro-life ministry, some of the strongest activists that we've had are these women that have killed their babies and repented of it.
I also, you know, I want to point out what you're saying, because some people heard you earlier and they're thinking, what in the name of creation? When Pastor Ernie has somebody come to him and say, hey, I aborted my child, I need God's mercy, he doesn't say, you deserve to die. He points them to Jesus. He points them to the cross where Christ died for us, for our sins, for our redemption. So I'm just trying to clean up a little bit of any misunderstanding that's out there, Pastor Ernie.
No, see, listen, I've been teaching this Bible for 50 years, and I'm telling you what happens, Randy. People have gotten away from they've been taught more of what, the world is saying out there. They've toned down, and it's just like there's a mindset that, well, you know, that's not what the people want. Well, God's immutable. God's immutable. Are his laws every bit in effect today? God's laws and God's statutes? I mean, here, somehow people think that God has to go with public opinion polls. He doesn't go with public opinion polls. And when you destroy his image, you have violated his dominion. What does he say about those that harm one of these little ones? They should have a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the ocean. So what happens, or to the sea? What happens when you put a 4,000-pound millstone around somebody's neck and drop them into the sea? What's the result?
My thought is that, I don't know, I'm betting on death. I'm going with death for 100, Bob.
So now God says you deserve that. God says you deserve that. Is he right or not?
He's absolutely right.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I think what we are lamenting about here is that the failure of the body of Christ to respond with the same kind of intensity that we see in the attitude of God towards sin. We're just not there because we have been seduced and allured into a philosophy that justifies this evil because of cultural dynamics. Now, political correctness has had a tremendous impact on the ability of the church to respond biblically. We're more concerned about being politically correct as opposed to being biblically correct. And as a result of it, we have a culture, a society that is absolutely confused, and a society that is milquetoast in how they respond to sin. And we've lost our kids because they've been dumbed down spiritually. They have no spiritual sensitivity. And because that sensitivity has been dulled, they do not see the murder, the lynching of babies while in their mother's womb as something that should be resisted, pushed back against. It's just not there. It's a handful of us that's doing that.
Pastor Ernie, if I could, I'd like to point something out for the listeners. Pastor Broden and I need to leave. We're so honored to be on. This is Fundraising Week, people. Give money to Ernie Show. Give money to Ernie Show. All right. So, Pastor Broden is going to say things on television in these ads that no black man has said in all of American history and shown the images. No one has ever done this. Literally no one in American history has done what Pastor Brodin is about to do. Now, it's the Terry Brodin ticket, but because he is an African-American pastor, he can say things that I can't say. Because he can say we, us, to the African-American community. I cannot say that because I'm white. So I'm asking people to pray for Pastor Brodin. And we are in the final stages of editing. We're in the final stages of editing four of his ads. We shot six ads with Pastor Brodin down in Dallas, Texas. And these ads are going to be devastating for the cowardly, treacherous, sold-out African-American community. And I'm asking you to pray for Pastor Brodin. But also, if you believe in what we're doing, Pastor Ernie, you and I know, Pastor Brodin knows, we've talked about this for decades. Abortion in America is black genocide. They are targeting black babies. And he's the first man that's going to come on TV and say it and show aborted black babies. It is going to create a firestorm. So please, people, go to Terry2024.com. Pray for us. Look at the ads. And, you know, give money if you can and volunteer for us.
Let me say this before we go, too. It's an investment. An investment in the kingdom of God. In this prophetic voice that is needed at this hour, I believe in 2024, more than ever before, our voice is going to represent the kingdom of God and the mind of God. And so it will be an investment, not only in Pastor Ernie's show, but I believe in the kingdom of God.
Amen, fellas. And like I said, count us in, right, Joe?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to be in this with you all the way. I've been fighting my whole life for life.
You have, and I'm honored. The last time I was on your show, it was the pledge week. It was support week. So I was glad to do it then. I'm glad to do it now. And I look forward to us coming back on when we can talk more freely and we're not crowding into what you need to do to keep this awesome show on the air. So people, call up that number that they're going to give you and make your pledge during pledge week.
All right, I appreciate it. Right now, Randy, you know that they're going after our people all over the place. They're in Tennessee. They have 11 of the brethren who are facing 11 years in prison simply for praying outside and blocking a bloody abortion mill. Those are real heroes. Those are heroes of the faith. Those are people that put their body where their faith is. And we want to really appreciate. And you and I both know several of those people that are out there.
Yep. So, yep. Friends, yep.
Yep.
And thank you, Pastor Ernie, for having us. May God bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you and give long life to you. And thank you for everyone who's going to pray for Pastor Brodin and I. Thank you for having us, Pastor Ernie.
Thanks for being here. All of that back at you. And listen, we'll get you back real soon. Give me a call in a couple of weeks, and we'll go right at it again. All right.
Sounds great. I'll call you from Idaho, where I'll be out there getting on the ballot.
All righty. God bless you, fellas. All right. Bye-bye. There you go. All right, Joe, we've only got a few minutes left. You have some let me just say we got oh, no, we just dropped Joe already. All right, folks, 888-281. We've been doing the program, and it's pledge week, and we have to raise money to continue. You're not going to get programs like this. There's very few of us that have a position that's non-compromised like we do. We've never, ever, in 50 years, backed down. We've never compromised. And so we need your help to continue. And this country has got some very interesting days ahead, and we've been bringing you we bring you information and news that we know that could land us in jail or could land us in prison for doing it, because the deep state out there does not like us at all. Believe me, you wouldn't believe some of the things that, that we've had to go through just to stay on the air. So, all right, Joe, it's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We got to hear those phones ringing. We've got to do this.
We definitely do. And, Pastor, one of the things that I think our two friends, I don't know if Randall remembers me or not, but I do him. So many pastors are so milquetoast and preach so gently, they really don't get across to their congregations, to the people, that, you know, God has said the wages of sin are death. I mean, this is something that is profound. And when you come out and say, when you abort a child, you have committed murder, it is, according to God, a capital sin, right? Capital punishment sin. And I just, so many times we'll hear somebody preach on abortion and, oh, God's love and forgiveness, but they just are afraid to come out and quote scripture. And that's one thing we do on this radio program. We call it just like Jesus did, and we preach it the way the gospel is written. And that is a unique thing from what I've seen in my travels, going to different churches, listening to different programs. They're afraid to stand for the truth.
That's exactly right, and they don't understand that in that, when you won't stand for the truth, when you try to water it down, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't want to offend people. You know, I don't want to offend people. In doing that, you offend God, and you're much better off to offend people, right, Joe, when they say.
And not only that, but the idea is Scripture says, you know, for you could approach people gently if they're receptive, and if they aren't, it's, you know, then you bring out the fire and brimstone. If not, if nothing else, you scare them from hell, because we preach it to try and keep them from going to hell. If I love somebody, I want to tell them that what their behavior is going to send them to hell for eternity if they don't turn and change their ways and repent. That's really caring, because you get a lot of people angry. You get people who don't want to talk to you, don't want to be your friend. It is not a pleasant place to be, but that is true love. Letting somebody continue a path that's going to harm them, especially forever, I don't call that love. I call that being afraid of the truth.
Absolutely. And when someone says,
we have a world that lives in fear.
Where's the love? The love is in the truth. But we're up against a heartbreak, Joe, so hang tight. We will be back right after this and with a whole lot more. So, folks, don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.